Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 375, The Hide. How are you folks doing this fine week? Boy, we're closing in not only on Christmas, but the end of the year. It's just going by faster and faster. Hey, but I appreciate your spending your time with me. I'm very grateful for it. Lots of great conversations this week. Appreciate those folks. I hope my two cents worth helps you move that photography a little bit forward. Hey, right now it's snowing here in the Bitterroots, Sapphire Mountains. My weather app, which has been kind of not really accurate, says it's raining as I look at these big flakes coming down. But with that said, we've got a whole lot of snow sticking on the ground here at higher elevations there are, but the first negative temps are coming in, which as far as I'm concerned is a good thing when it comes to our climate, what we need here. Once again, I am recording on Adobe Beta Podcast. They've tuned up a little bit more on the podcast part, but the transcript, not so much. But the transcript will be available for you there on the podcast blog post. And just so you know, whatever means you listen to the podcast, and I'm grateful you do, if you go to the website, moosepearson.com, you'll find there's an actual archive of all of the podcasts, all 375. They also have it there on iTunes. So they are there. I know you guys listen to them. I see the numbers. Appreciate you taking advantage of it. It means a lot to me. Hey, I want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. Talk about a store who's got the season greetings bug. Wow. They are just cranking. So besides having that incredible Nikon holiday savings, they've got some great gear in stock. I happen to know that they just got a brand new from Nikon Z 400 2.8 lens, a spectacular lens. I got one from MPS earlier a couple months ago and was up in Alaska with it. And, oh man, is it a gorgeous lens. But they have a ton of great stuff there. And you know, with their, I call up and yeah, I know I'm on my sock thing. I even called up and they had help from my socks. I mean, hey, you know, we got to keep our priorities straight, right? But they also have gear and they have a huge used locker. Great way to get someone like one of your youngsters going in photography. They got great advice. They can help you set up that package. They got great service to get in your hands before Christmas. Pricing, and of course, when you check out, you get that Moose discount. So, hey, they've got all there at bedfords.com. So let them know you listen to the podcast. Tell them hello. And thank you, Bedfords, for sponsoring the podcast. Well, getting into this week's episode, The Hide. Now, the hide, you might be wondering what that's about. If you are in Europe, you probably have a really good idea. If you're in North America, you're probably a little confused because here we call the hide the blind. I've noticed that I never have talked about blinds on the podcast. And before you go click, you might just give it a few minutes because the technique and tools you use in the blind are ones you can use without a blind. It's just the blind does shorten the clock. So a little preface. So here at the homestead, I have one blind that is hide that is continually put up. Now, why do I say the blind sometimes? Well, just because of my audience, but I never liked the term blind because they do make you blind, as we'll talk about. The hide, it actually gets to the point. And the one that I have up permanently, and I'll describe a little bit more. The whole idea is that it is set up at what we call Mega, our big 60-pound seed feeder, which has perches set up. And I've talked about how you set up your shooting gallery, so I'm not going to really get into that. But it allows me that when I see the light, and that's the whole thing. When I see the really nice light, I can just grab the Z600 F4 Z9, and I walk out and just step right into the hide, and I can shoot. The chair is there. The tripod's left set up there all the time. So all I have to do is just walk out and shoot. And the hide permits me to do, as the name suggests, hide. My motion, my being there, just disappears. And with that, I can shoot where if I were to go without the hide at the particular place where I'm shooting, the birds would naturally would go away, and majority of them wouldn't come back for a while, if not ever, because I'm there. So by having the hide there, I get in, and typically within minutes, literally, I'm shooting. And that's, you know, when you're looking at and your priority is light, that makes a difference. So let's step back a minute on this whole process. The whole idea of the hide, the blind, is to hide or disguise the human form. That is the basic precept in which critters will come in again because they don't see that human form. The other thing that it's hiding or it's the blind will do is keep any and all of your movement from being seen. And people wiggle, especially when you have to wait a while. Your feet wiggle, which is the biggest thing, and your arms and your hands wiggle. And it's that movement and shape that keeps critters from coming back and coming closer. Now, you don't have to have these things. Just understand that. It's not a requirement. It's just that it just makes getting a shot quickly, that clock, work in your favor. Now, what kind of hides, blinds do I use or would you use? Can you use? So the second one that I have right now that's up, that's temporarily up, and I'll talk about this week on the blog, it is an old pop-up blind. And it literally, as the name suggests, and it's how old? Sharon and I are trying to figure it out. It's probably about 23, 25 years old. It's that old. It's got the four sides have that metal hoop like you'd find in a lot of light modifiers that you can kind of fold and they pop in. Got that blind eons ago when I was doing my San Joaquin Kit Fox work. It's probably got 11 or 12 years in the field, and it still is. It snows on it and it's dry inside. And I'm actually using my Kit Fox chair, which still boggles my mind that it doesn't, the seat doesn't rip out. That is a blind that you cannot buy today. It's long gone. It's one of the first pop-ups. It's one of those things where a manufacturer reached out to me and says, would you try it? And I did, and the manufacturer did really well, sold a lot of them, but you know, business went away. Now, the other blind that's up full-time at Mega, I got that off Amazon. And it is... not a pop-up blind in the sense it doesn't have the spring-loaded metal hoops. It has your basic connecting collapsible fiberglass rods that just instantly insert and boom, you have a blind. It has been sitting in place about 18, 19 months now. It has faded a little bit. It's and my neighbor has one and his has been up for quite a while, and the nylon starts because of the intense sun here during the summer, you know, it starts to weaken. But both of them are very much watertight, waterproof. The permanent one, like I said, I got off Amazon, and when you go to get it, a couple things to think about. And that's the first thing we need to talk about. One is the actual height. There are varying heights that you can get in a hide. I wanted one that I could easily not just necessarily stand up in or set up in, I should say, not stand up, but set up in, but I could step into and my head wouldn't be hitting the roof. You have to fold your body through the door, which is going to be smaller than the height of the hide. And you have to do it with tripod and lens. So you want to have the space to do it. So that the next thing is you want a big door that you can go in and out of. It makes life easy. The next thing is you got to keep in mind that you're going to be need a porthole, an actual hole somewhere that you can stick the lens out and shoot. And there are lots of different varieties and shapes and designs. The one thing I'm going to recommend is look at the height of that hole. Where do you want that hole? You want to be able to kind of not be all crumped over, and it can get uncomfortable on a blind, and that causes you to not spend as much time if you're going to get that hide. So keep that in mind. The next thing is it's important that if you're looking from the critter's point of view towards the hide, that when they look, they do not see your silhouette. So the wall that's behind you, not the one you're shooting out, the one behind you, and preferably on your sides, those are not netting. They're not letting light in. So they can't see any movement. They can't see that silhouette, or else the whole idea of, you know, getting rid of your silhouette doesn't work. So those are the basic requirements. And after that, it's whatever your budget, you know, can afford. Another kind of hide that's really I use, it's called a Hapline. I got mine from Lens Coat. They make a really simple, excellent model that has no. You are the pole system, you could say, that holds it in place. It's this big kind of a camouflage light sheet that goes over you with netting so you can see out, and there's a portal for your lens. It's very portable. You can take it anywhere. And the idea of these whole the hide is simply, again, so your shape and your movement aren't being transmitted or shown to the critters. Now, with that said, there's a couple of things to think about. A really amazing photographer who has got very much up in the years, who was a legend in my day, on everybody's edge, everybody's tip of their tongue, Leonard LaRue, just outstanding gentleman, really brought the idea of the photo blind or the hide to the forefront in North America. And I remember conversing with him once, and we were talking about that very topic. He said, "You know, the worst thing people do is they take a book into the blind and read during the slow times." He said, "That's the biggest mistake." And today, I don't think that's what you have to worry about. It's people pulling out their iPhone and checking their emails and stuff, which I see people do all the time. And it's like, if you can do that, why are you out behind the lens? Because the moment you take your eye away from that viewfinder when you're in that hide, it is just Murphy's Law. The very moment, that's when the photograph happens. And it takes some people missing the shot many times before they realize, yeah, maybe if I'm going to spend time in here, I should have my full attention out on the subject. That's one of the biggest things to think about. Next, sounds like a little thing, but it really makes a difference, is the chair you're in. And they have very specific chairs for working inside the hide, the photo blind. I have one that's kind of a more or less a triangular seat. So the seat's not cutting off the back of your thighs, so your feet and legs don't go numb. And that way you can put one leg of the tripod between your legs, which if you're doing proper long lens technique, it's the other way around. And the other two legs are against the edge of the blind. That's for a number of reasons. One, so you can kind of snuggle up, as it were, to your lens. So you're physically close. You don't have to keep leaning forward. You can kind of have good posture because your back will get tired. I mean, this is not the hides and these chairs and stuff. they're not made for us to be in there for 8 hours comfortably. Here at the ranch, I've maybe been in for maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours. But, you know, in the field working on things, being 8-10 hours of blind was not uncommon. So they're not, you do this so you can simply just kind of open your eye and just see through the camera. You don't have to lean forward even. So that's the idea of the chair and where the tripod is. And they have these chairs, which would be totally unapplicable in Arizona, which are great in Montana. They actually have heated chairs for the hide. Not making this up. Just like a bum burner you would have in a car. They're battery operated. Because you can sit in a hide and it might be 30, 35 degrees out. You'd be surprised after, you know, 90 minutes, the chill starts going through your bone. And another way to deal with that is to have something on the ground, a piece of astroturf, for example. You'd be surprised that little piece on the ground does two things. One, it does keep you warmer. And two, it keeps noises from you stepping on any kind of leaves or branches from snapping, which can upset the critters. A couple of folks have asked, what about using flash and a hide? Now, in theory, you can do it. But in practicality, so you want to have the front of the lens barrel, the front of the shade, whichever, you know, you have out there, you want that to be about 1 inch inside of the hide or blind. You don't want it sticking out, especially in the beginning. Now, you might be able to do it later on as things get comfortable with your being there and that presence. But, you know, you're going to be panning left and right, up and down. And if that lens is sticking out the hide, a couple things could possibly happen. The first is you actually move the hide as you go up and down because you hit the fabric, the hide moves. The other thing is that the actual movement of that barrel can be seen. So you want to bring it in. Now, if you have a flash, you would have to have, you know, you either have a flash attached to that lens, which means it has to stick up through the blind. That's not going to happen. Or you have to have it on a stand, which means it has to be dedicated to one location, one perch, which is totally feasible and easily done. You just have to keep in mind that if you are shooting and you have that scenario, that if you are looking around and the critter lands and it's not where the flash is, you kind of want to turn that flash off because that light going off, you never know who's going to be there. It could startle them. So you kind of have to have, you know, a little bit of multitasking going on. But boom, that's kind of it. And it's easy peasy then. Myself, I don't use a flash in the hide. I'm at my office window, like I am right now. I'm looking out. In fact, I just watched the northern goshawk taking off to a flicker, which always cracks me up. They have such poor rate of actually catching them. But anyway, I look out when I see the light. That's when I make things happen. So in my particular scenario, the Z9 is attached to the Z600F4 TC, and it's ready to go, card in a battery, so I can just, boom, go out and shoot. And then when I'm done, I come back in. Now, the one question that I haven't really addressed is, do I use this in the field? As in, if I'm going to go down to Lee Metcalf National Wildlife Refuge, which is just down, you know, just above the hill from the ranch, am I going to pack up a blind and go use it? I don't use a blind unless I have a very distinct project I need. And there's only one exception, and that's when I'm photographing a tern colony, T-E-R-N, birds. If I'm going to be photographing a tern colony, I will have the blind and I will be using it. That's because the tern's number one defense against a predator or, you know, a stranger in their colony is to crap on them, and they eat a lot of fish. So when I was doing my least tern work, elegant tern work, I had a blind, and those blinds would last literally just for one season for about 6-7 weeks, which time they got thrown away because they were so soiled and stained. The smell was so bad. I would fold it up and I'd put it in the back of the truck. And then I'd get to wherever I was, you know, going back to pull it out, to wash it and clean up best I could. And just that hour drive in the back in the shell, oh, the smell was unbelievable. So no, if I'm going down to Lee Metcalf, I'm going to use what I've always considered the portable hide. And that's the vehicle. I'll be shooting out the truck. Again, it's the same basic principle. The one thing that I often will do is I'm in the driver's seat and I'm out there. I will have in the passenger seat and the back window of the cab, I will have those blackened out. So it can't see my movement. But shooting out the driver's side of the window, that's just another form of the hide that works, doing basically everything we just mentioned. And that's really it. The only thing that is left, which I can't really help you with, is the desire to spend time in there and shoot. There are, and it's guaranteed, no matter what you see, what's going on, it's going to be some slow times to the point where you probably want to go, you know, and then all of a sudden you'll have 3-5 minutes. I mean, just like, where do they all come from? And all this activity. And then it's, and you got to get through that somehow. That's one of the challenges. But, you know, when you see those photographs, you think about, you know, the time you did not invest in the critters getting used to you, getting close, you know, your basic and relative comfort sitting in a chair. And it's just, they make a lot of opportunities, especially, and I'm talking about using them in my backyard, possible to get the photographs. Hope that helps. Hope that answered all the questions. I appreciate you spending time with me. You guys have a marvelous week. And remember to make every click your story.